Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Jaron Miller, and welcome to the Classic Series Redrive. Check them up. Let's get started. Hello again, everybody, and welcome to episode number 5 already. Episode number 5. Thanks for tuning in. Sitting here with Classic Series treasure and co-host, Mr. Mark Hostetler, and, of course, our producer, Logan Reinhold. Coming off of another busy draft horse week last week with the Topeka draft horse sale going on. 842 horses changed hands last week.
That's it?
That's it. big sale. Had 702 Belgians and 90 Percherons and 50 crossbreds and ponies. So tremendous sale, Mark. I know you were there most of the week watching horses drive. I just thought the quality was deep and just a tremendous week in the draft horse industry.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I tell you what, there was a a bunch of good Belgian mares that were bred and ready to foal, and anything that was bred or willing to breed brought a bunch of money.
These breeders were spending a lot of money on and on good brood mares.
That's
absolutely
sure. So what were the averages?
Belgian mares average 79.23. Top 10 Belgian mares averaged close to 20,000. There was over 50 Belgian mares that brought over $10,000. I think had a whale of a Percheron sale as well. You know, Topeka's kind of known for their Belgian sale, but man, that Percheron sale's coming on really strong, and yet Percheron mares averaging 9,600, Percheron stud colts averaging 4,229. So that was exciting. Getting that Percheron sale build up there. But tremendous week. Had a great week. Seen a lot of people, talked to a lot of people, and definitely people are out and about.
Yeah, for sure. And it just kind of goes back to the previous episode. You know, we were talking about some people stepping up and buying, you know, a little bit better brood mares and actually spending the money on hitchier type mares to breed on. And I think you saw that in the Percherons, you know, with Yura Gingrich buying that 3-year-old mare, the top horse of the sale for $30,000. Now, I don't know what his plans are with her, but man, she was a really good moving mare. She brought $30,000.
Yeah, she was just young, a little green, but definitely a prospect. Be interesting to see what happens with her.
And then you look down the line here, Jaron just handed me this list, and you know, another mare, 7-year-old mare, brought $17,000 to, you know, a guy in LaGrange. Mm-hmm. So that's encouraging, you know, seeing the Percheron broodmare guys stepping up and wanting to better themselves. And same way with, you know, you're looking at the top Belgian mares. You know, one went for $25,000, Marlon Miller, and New Paris bought her. And then another 4-year-old coming out of Burton, Ohio, that brought $24,000, Shannon Miller, in Hillsdale, Michigan, there bought her, you know, so that's impressive.
Oh, it's that other Percheron mare that Irvin Weaver bought. She came local out of Shipshawana there as well.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Michael and Ryan Yoder had her consigned. Big-footed mare. Irvin Weaver bought her from in Massillon, Ohio for $25,000. Really good quality mare.
A lot of depth
big
for that mare.
And, just a really good footed and
nice exciting to see what she throws, what she has next year for sure. But no, overall, I mean, Belgian stud colts bringing $3,200 and across the board, you know, it was definitely exciting, and keeps the draft horse industry going, and these breeders breeding good horses.
Yep. And the top Belgian gelding was $18,000. Ray Houston bought him the very last horse of the sale on Thursday night at about 10:15.
Yeah.
And Ray brought him for $18,000. Nice big, nice front-ended horse that he bought.
But did you bought something, Mark?
Yeah, we bought a 3-year-old gelding from Kenny Miller there in Topeka, had him consigned. Then we also bought a couple yearling stud colts as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Awesome. But yeah, I want to thank Rick and Andrea Welsh and the whole Topeka Draft Horse Sale Committee. I want to thank them for their sponsorship here on the Redrive, first of all, and being great supporters. Rick and Andrea there being great supporters of the draft horse industry, and Dwayne Beachy and the whole committee there and what they've done with that sale. And they got Seymour Sale coming up. I believe April 30th might be the deadline for that sale. If you want to get horses in, get them in while the market's strong. So if you have horses you want to sell, make sure you contact Dwayne Beachy or call the office there at Topeka.
And let's not forget another sale coming up April 7th and 8th at the Jefferson County Fairgrounds in Wisconsin, the Midwest Select Sale. There's always be interesting to see what the market does there, if it keeps as strong as it has been the first few sales of the year. They usually have a good run of Belgians, and the Kaufmans up there in Wisconsin are having a big reduction sale. So it'll be interesting to see what the market, if the market holds steady there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, folks, we have multiple guests on this week's episode talking about some exciting new things happening in the draft horse industry, some shows coming up this year, and then a special exciting announcement at the end of the episode. So make sure you stay tuned for that. I hope you all enjoy. We would like to thank Shipshewana Harness and Supply in Shipshewana, Indiana. Mr. Bob Schrock, if you're looking for products for the show ring or at the farm from A to Z, anything you need, horse nutrition, tack, you name it, make sure you check them out, ShipshewanaHarness.com, follow them on Facebook, or visit their shop in beautiful Shipshewana Amish country, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. till 4 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. till 12 noon. Call Mr. Bob Schrock, 260-768-7254 for all your draft horse needs. All right, joining us now are Ann Nisley and Kim Bain. They're on the committee of the new Clydesdale show. We'll talk about that here a little later, the North America Clydesdale Shire Fall Classic. How are you guys doing tonight, Ann?
Good, thanks. Enjoying this nice weather.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
We've been showing horses since I was 4 years old, started with Hackney ponies and draft ponies, and most recently are showing a Clydesdale hitch full-time for Crush and Trance Clydesdales. I get a show with my husband, so I can enjoy being with him every day. It's great.
Fun. And Kim, what about yourself? I know you grew up in Ontario.
I did. I originally am from Ontario. I'm kind of like a fifth year Clydesdale breeder. My grandpa, he got us into it, and we've been carrying on the tradition ever since. So my kids will be sixth generation, which is pretty awesome. I now live in the States with my husband, Logan Bain, and we show six horse hitch and mares for the Bain Brothers Clydesdales. And it's kind of still connected to the family tradition.
Awesome. Very good. Excited to have you both on the show here with us. Tell us about your new show, the North America Clydesdale Shire Fall Classic. I know a lot of Clydesdale breeders and Shire breeders are really excited about it. When are the dates for this show?
So our show is September 9th through the 11th in Shipshewana, Indiana. And Kim and I got together last summer showing Clydes at the few shows we had to go to and realized that we needed more Clyde shows so we could show together. So we got the idea this fall and just put it out there on Facebook asking, would anyone be interested in a Clydesdale Shire show? And we got a ton of interest, so we decided to take it on.
Very good.
Yeah, so there's really not a lot of Clydesdale standalone shows out there right now. So, and when we didn't have the state fairs to host our Clydesdale shows, we thought, you know what, we need to do something for our breed and to promote it, and let's get together and do something about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially not having any, like, you know, breed classes with no state fairs. You just get away from all those breed classes real quick.
Right.
Who else is on the committee? Just the two of you, or?
We like to thank our husbands' help as well. And then Jake and Kim Scott as well are helping put the show on.
Okay, very good.
Speaking of Jake, he's been advertising on here, and it's becoming close to spring here, and If anybody needs any eveners or swing poles touched up, repainted, Jake does a fantastic job with that. And also, like, maybe a little bit of wagon touch up, wagon covers. Check it out with Jake Scutt. He does a great job, and I know he's got a little bit of time right now to get people worked in if anybody's got eveners or anything, just, you know, touched up wagons and stuff like that. Give Jake a call. So how do you go about to sponsor? What are your sponsorship packages? Could you talk with that a little bit?
Sure. So we have a sponsorship package right now. We're really trying to find title sponsors for this show. Currently, we have all the classes sponsored, which is great. And we feel really great about the people and the support and everybody that's reached out to us so far. But essentially, we're really looking to promote getting some title sponsorships that we're essentially are going to fund our show and make it a success. So we have a kind of a tiered sponsorship. The lead team sponsorship title is 10,000 plus. We have a swing team sponsorship for 5,000 plus, a wheel team sponsorship for 2,500. And then we have some team leaders, which is 500 to 1,000, and a team supporter, which is $250 to $500. So any little bit helps, and we're just trying to get some tier sponsorships right now.
And if you're listening to this show, make sure, and you want to be a sponsor. It sounds, I mean, it's going to be an amazing event, and you want to be a part of it. So make sure you get your sponsorships in and be a part of this great event. So you said, how many hitches or how many horses are you about expecting to have there at the Met?
I'll be honest, we're kind of dependent on if the border opens. If the border's open, we are thinking that we could have as many as 20 to 25 six-horse hitches. If the border's not open, we're probably looking at closer to 10 to 15 six-horse hitches. But we are really promoting, if you have one horse, two horses, come show. We're not looking for just six-horse hitches to be at this show. We want the cart horses, the team classes, and we want some riding horses as well. We recognize that riding is becoming a big part of the Clydesdale and Shire breed. So we are putting some riding classes into this show, and we hope to be able to pull a lot more than just the six horse hitches, but some of those other smaller people that just have a few horses and can come enjoy the association and learn more about the Clydesdale breed.
Absolutely. So, and you'll be doing a full blown schedule from, you know, your junior showmanship to riding classes to the six. If you're looking for high-quality, custom patent leather show harness, look no further than Shanahan Harness, located in Huntsville, Ohio, with over 50 years of harness-making experience. Call Dan Shanahan, 937-686-5202. Once again, Shanahan Harness, 937-686-5202, or visit them online at shanahanharness.com. How does your schedule look like?
Do you have halter classes as well?
Yeah. So I think it's really important that we need to point out that, like what Ian said, that we're not just looking for the hitch classes. We are doing everything. We're really trying to promote our Clydesdale breed and Shire breeds. And we're doing everything from the junior filly foal, senior filly foal, all the way up to all the group classes from, you know, the Progenia Dam and the Geta Sire and the Stallion and Three Mares. We're doing everything up in there, all the youth classes. So tentatively, we have the line halter classes on the Saturday morning. And we really wanted to put it that there because we really need to promote our breeding programs in our all these Clydesdales and Shires in this industry. So we really wanted to make that a highlight of our show.
Another class that we're kind of excited about, and I'll let Kim explain this a little bit more, but Dan Holian gave us quite a great sponsorship to have a mother-child class and a father-child class. And this isn't limited to small children. This is, you know, if it's you and your dad, if you're 20 and 50 or whatever it may be, but we're going to promote a family environment. And that was in memory of Dan's son that was recently tragically killed. So we're pretty excited about that class and just bringing everyone together and families and watching them promote their breed.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so this class, I mean, it's kind of, you know, really hits home to us. And Dan's always supported this industry for us, and he's always been there. And he thought, you know, if I'm going to do something for this show, I'm going to make it, you know, I want it to be encompass family. And he really said, I want to do a kart class with a father child, a mother child, and it could be, you know, grandma and mom. You know, it's not limited to anything. But like Ann said, you know, we're trying to make this show as fun. We're thinking about having some game nights for everybody. So it's just really to bring our, you know, Clydesdale Shire people together and have a good time.
Very good. Are you going to be selling tickets for the event for spectators? And if so, where can they go to buy tickets?
They are currently online now on the Michiana Event Center website. So adults, it's $15 a day. And for adults, it's $30 for a 3-day pass. Kids up in, I think it's 12. Hold on, let me just double check. Yeah, it's 6 to 12 is $10 per day and $30 for a 3-day pass, and kids under 5 are free.
Okay, so
we will have tickets at the sales coming up. So we can sell some at the sale, but obviously you can go onto the website. And if you send us a message on Facebook too, we'll make sure you can get tickets.
Awesome. And you can follow them on, you do have a Facebook page, North America Clydesdale Shire Fall Classic. I'm sure you'll have a bunch of updates on there as well.
So you'll be having vendors and everything like that there as well? Like they'll be shopping for spectators in between classes?
Yes, we will. We're trying to encompass kind of everything we can. So there'll be vendors on site. We'll have food every night for the exhibitors. We're going to have a banquet. So we're really going to try to make it a high-class event.
Awesome. Very good.
Nice. So what time do the classes start in the morning, and what time is, like, what's your evening show? Like what's the evening schedule like?
So tentatively we're looking at a 9 a.m. start on the Thursday and Friday mornings. And Thursday, we're probably just going to have some hitch classes in the morning, and evening classes will start roughly at 4 p.m. And every night we'll have a 6-course hitch. So the first night will be the gelding open 6, the next night, the mare 6, and then the following night will be the big supreme 6 where everybody hooks together. Saturday morning, like we said, it's going to highlight the halter classes. And that starts at 8 a.m.
We are trying to make it more of a all-day event. I mean, there'll be breaks during the day, but one thing that when we were talking to the Shipshawana folks is, they didn't just want classes at night for people to come watch, but throughout the day as well. So as Kim said, we're going to have some kart classes, youth classes, obviously, will be in the morning. So we're trying to spread out. So if you come to the show at 9 a.m., you're going to have things to look at, watch. We will have a show going on. And then also in the evening, we'll have a good show as well.
Awesome. And Shipshawana is a nice area to come for the weekend and just hang out and bring the family. And so, no, it's definitely a great thing that you're doing for the Clydesdale breed. And we appreciate you for doing that. So if you're listening and want to be a sponsor and want to be a part of this show, this great show, make sure you get in contact with Ann or Kim at the Clydesdale or at any event you might see them, or follow them there on Facebook, North America Clydesdale Shire Fall Classic. Mark.
So, you guys looking to make this an annual event or just a 1-year deal, or what are you guys thinking on that?
We're hoping for an annual event. As much feedback as we've had and the sponsors that have been sponsoring the classes, we actually have all the classes sponsored. They're pretty excited for what we're putting on. We think the Shipshawana area is really going to support us as well. So we hope to make it an annual event. It's a good time. When it's a normal year, we'll have Lansing after this show. We'll have a few other shows before and after. So it's just a good place for the Clydesdale breed to be able to come and show against just Clydes. That's what we're really missing in the breed. And so we're pretty excited about trying to make it an annual event if this first one goes without a hitch.
I'm sure it will if you have John Nisley and Logan Bain involved. I'm sure it'll go just fine.
Can you imagine?
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on with us here, and we sure do appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
The Young Living Pertrons, the equine ambassadors for Young Living Essential Oils, are brought to you from their global headquarters in northern Utah. Whether online or in the hitch, these horses are a powerful representation of the company's commitment to providing essential oils of the highest quality to families across the globe. These world champion Pertrons represent Young Living's founder, Gary Young's continuous pursuit of excellence. You can visit these mighty Pertrons 6 days a week at their home, the iconic Young Living Lavender Farm in Mona, Utah. You can also see them in action as they compete year-round across the United States at fairs and stock shows, including Young Living's annual Falls Festival and Draft Horse Show. Joining us now is Kevin Wilson from Eastern Ontario and also Calvin Martin from Strathclare, Manitoba.
You keep a bunch of broodmares, Calvin, or you show a hitch? Yeah, I got tell us about yourself.
Yeah, no, I've got mostly broodmares and things I raise, and show and sell them. And my brother and his daughters, they do a fair bit of hitching, and he raises quite a few too. Kind of do things a little bit together, but his girls are the ones that are the keenest on the driving and hitching and that kind of thing. So they're, busy getting a few ready for that now.
That's all right. Has there been much inclination of what's going to happen out there this summer, later in the summer, as far as is some horse shows or for charity stuff? Or,
well, yes and no. There's a bit of talk that they're maybe going to try to do something at Calgary this summer. A local, Canadian show. They're not expecting, too much for international exhibitors or visitors or whatever. And they're maybe going to try and have a hitch show, maybe a small hitch show in Saskatoon at the end of April. It looks like it's maybe going to be able to happen if they can get, enough leeway on crowd size. But, in the summer, people are, there's quite a few fairs here in the summertime, and, there's none of them officially on or officially off. Everybody's just waiting to see what happens as far as some of the good rules and regulations that we have. As of right now, we couldn't have them, but maybe in 2 or 3 months might be able to have some kind of reduced crowd or just a show of some kind, but it's there's not going to be a whole lot, I don't think, but time will tell.
And Calvin was on the World Show, the World Clydesdale Show, which was supposed to happen this year. It was supposed to be the 2021 World Clydesdale Show, and Calvin, unfortunately, COVID brought us some more bad news, and you had to cancel that. So what are the new plans going forward, going on with the next Clyde Show?
Well, our plan going forward will be to host the show, or basically postponing it, not canceling it, but postponing it to actually July 19th to the 23rd of 2023 is when our plan is to host the World Clydesdale Show again. And that's, plans are all in place for this one. So moving forward, we should be in good shape as we go forward to 2023.
And what was the reasoning? What was the reasoning for pushing it out 2 years? Just playing it safe, or were there no dates available for your facility, or how come did you push it out 2 years?
Well, there's actually about three reasons. You hit one of them, is that with everything that's been delayed in 2020 and in 2021, a lot of things have got pushed forward into 2022 already. Mm-hmm. And the just not a date there available to us in 2022. We need the entire facility for an entire week, and that's just really not possible the way things are right now. Secondly, the World Perchering Congress will be held in Brandon in July of 2022. Okay. That's already been planned for year after ours. And, our feeling was that to have two world shows in the same facility, in the same city, in the same year would just be overload for exhibitors and spectators and volunteers and sponsors and everything. Plus, Scotland has been planning a World Clydesdale Show for 2022, in the fall of 2022. and we just felt that we couldn't infringe, you know, on that and on their show either. So for those reasons, we've had to go to 2023. We would really rather not have to do that. We'd like to have had it in 2022, but just the way it worked out, it's not going to be possible. So, and surely to goodness, we'll be able to play it safe by then. You know, we certainly wouldn't want to have to run into things like what the Belgian people are against again this year, having had to postpone in Ontario last year, and, you know, even more uncertainty this year. So one thing that is a little bit different too, the show is 1 week later than it was going to be in 2021, and which will help. There's a lot of exhibitors, you know, wanting to make a little trip out of it, go to the Calgary Stampede and then come to our show. It was going to be quite tight to get out of Calgary and, you know, get into Brandon in time to be ready for our show. So this will be, it's actually 1 week later on the calendar. So there'll be plenty of time for exhibitors to go to Calgary, come out of there, and you'll actually be able to get into the facility in Brandon on the Saturday before the show, which is the 15th. So anybody that's coming from a distance or, you know, coming from Calgary, without having to lay over somewhere else, would be able to get into the facility in Brandon on the Saturday, you know, and lots of time to prepare for the show on starting on Wednesday the 19th. So,
yeah, it's always nice nice to have the horses, give the horses some time off and be able to do that. It's definitely nice. Well, it sounds you put a lot of thought into this going forward, and I'm sure you as a committee member and the rest of the committee have had some sleepless nights through all this trying to come up with a different plan or trying to figure out going forward.
Yeah, it's been a difficult, trying time. It's, you know, we wanted to wait as long as we could, and it's interesting. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, everybody's got set of their own opinion, and there's a lot of people have been really planning for it for 2 or 3 years, you know, getting the horses ready, getting horses bought, getting horses, you know, meetings and whatever to make the show, and really wanted to come. And of course, there's, you know, people on the other side too that are concerned about, you know, the safety and the health issues and the travel and all of that. And would have liked us to counsel a long time ago. So it's, you know, you kind of a little bit from both sides, but I mean, we looked at it, you know, very strategically as to how we could, you know, maybe make it work. And, you know, in the end, just with all the big issues, just, you know, got to the point where we're going to have to start, you know, spending some money on things and looking at taking entries and that kind of thing. And it didn't make sense to do that with all the uncertainty on the horizon with, you know, and the biggest issue really is the closed Canadian-U.S. border and not really any idea about when that might open. And we just can't hold a world show, a prestigious world show, without, you know, U.S. spectators, exhibitors, and sponsors. You know, and a lot of the other international travel restrictions with people wanting to attend from, you know, basically around the world, you know, very difficult to do so. And some, you know, were a little bit concerned about coming with, you know, some of the health issues that are surrounding this. So, and crowd sizes and that type of thing. I mean, we're going to live stream the show, but, you know, really the attraction is the experience of being there and that type of thing. It makes it more difficult too. So just, you know, kind of adding all those things up, you know, we just felt that that was the decision we had to make.
How is the sponsorship coming? Like, I'm sure you had some classes sponsored already. Now, will those sponsors be good to, you know, carry over to the 2023 show then?
Well, yeah, actually, it's good. We've had some very good response to our sponsorship. You know, a lot of you know, companies and people and friends of the breed and whatever have stepped forward, and we've had a very good response to that. We've had just about all of our classes covered. There's a few left to go, and, you know, I think they would have been all covered by the time we got the show, but there's just a few left there that are open. What we've been reaching out to our sponsors. We haven't got to them all yet. There's, you know, well over 100 of them, and we've been reaching out to them just to, you know, tell them what we're up to and to see where they're at. And, you know, what we've basically been telling our sponsors, and actually the response has been very good, but we've said, you know, we're not be able to hold the show as planned when we said we would. And if if that changes anybody's plans and they've already paid money, we would pay it back if they wanted it. We haven't had anybody tell us yet that that's what they want to do. We've also said for some of the ones that have, you know, the sponsorship lately, that if, again, if that changes their, you know, their forward plans and that they would rather not do that, then we would just ask if they'd let us know kind of as soon as possible so that we could fill that spot. But so far, the response has been very good, that people have understood what's going on, understand what we're up against, and have certainly said that they'd be there to support us this year, 2 years from now. So we've been very thankful for that and happy that that's been the response from most everyone that we've talked to.
Yeah, that's great. Now, I'm sure you've heard many people's opinions through this. Yeah. But what a lot of people don't realize is you can't just, you know, wait till the week before or the month before. You know, there's so much planning and preparation goes into it. And the biggest thing is what we've been talking about is your sponsorship. You know, that's something that has to happen months before the show to get all those bases covered. And it's really hard to go get money if you can't promise your sponsors that you're going to have a show too. But
that's absolutely correct. It's, you know, it takes well, we've been basically in the planning stage for 4 years and, you know, coming up to the, finale, and it's, yeah, there is a lot of planning, and you can't just shut that off or start it up again either. Like, that's kind of when the decision is made. You can't, even if things were to change, you know, 2 months from now, you just can't start that big wheel rolling again on a real quick notice. It's just basically make the decision and live with it and move forward.
Right. So Calvin, I know
I got,
go ahead,
Calvin. Sorry, Jared. I got a question for you, Calvin. I was reading up on your website, the World Clydesdale Show, the $40,000 full for charity. You guys got 180 entries into that already?
Well, to begin with, you had to nominate the mayor first, which would have been in the fall of 2020. And so we had 193 entries into that. And then last fall, you nominated the foal that you wanted to bring forward to the show. And we actually had 90 nominations for that. Wow. And then the one final nomination would be to bring that yearling, or to nominate and bring that yearling to the show. And so don't know how many of that 90 would have came, or, you know, would have been entered, but that those numbers are correct. Yeah, we had a great response to that from all across North America, all across Canada. I think 8 Canadian states, and all the way from, you know, southeastern United States right to the West Coast.
That's amazing.
So will that carry over then? Will you be showing them now as like 3-year-olds, or how will it be showing them?
Yes, no, that's what we've decided. We looked at, you know, several different options, but, you know, looking at, you know, that people had, you know, paid up their, you know, nominations so far, a lot of people had, you know, did specific meetings and that type of thing to, you know, try and come up with one that would do well in the class. And so we've decided to move that forward as a 3-year-old class. And but the only two differences is that it was going to be like a filly, a yearling filly and a yearling stallion class. Now it'll be like a 3-year-old mare class and a 3-year-old male class, which, you know, because by that time some of the stallions will be will be castrated and, you know, as geldings, so the geldings and stallions, so it'll be basically a male class. And then rather than having the last final nomination, the final $50 paid for, which would have been April of this year, that will move forward until May 1st of 2023 before that final nomination fee will be required. So that's, you know, that's the way we're going to run it. Is it'll be a 3-year-old class, and it'll be a male class, and the final nomination won't be due until entries are due in May of 2023.
That's pretty impressive.
We would like to thank Shipshawana Harness and Supply in Shipshawana, Indiana. Mr. Bob Schrock, if you're looking for products for the show ring or at the farm from A to Z, anything you need, horse nutrition, tack, you name it, make sure you check them out, ShipshawanaHarness.com. Follow them on Facebook or visit their shop in beautiful Shipshawana Amish country Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. till 4 p.m. and Saturday, 8 a.m. till 12 noon. Call Mr. Bob Schrock, 260-768-7254 for all your draft horse needs.
How many six horse hitches did you have entered in the show, Calvin? Do you have a rough idea?
No, because we hadn't started to take entries yet. So we haven't, I really don't know. I mean, we've had number of people talk about coming, but I would think that it'd be similar to a lot of the last world shows, but we really haven't had a firm number because we haven't taken any entries yet.
No, understandable.
Very good. So I know, down going back to COVID a little bit, down here in the States, every state, has their different governor, and every state has their different regulations and rules and whatever things to abide by. How's it up there in Canada? Like, Kevin's over there in Ontario, and Calvin, you're up there in Manitoba. Is Canada overall kind of the same way, or some provinces more lenient than others, or?
Yes, it's, a lot of the, well, the federal government, controls the borders and, as far as, the Canadian U.S. border and international travel coming into the country, and then the provinces, most of them, they do all run kind of their own show, so to speak, as far as, what they allow to be open or not to be open and crowd sizes and those types of things. And yes, some provinces are more lenient than others, and some, like, the Maritimes, the four Maritime provinces, have kind of created their own bubble as far as travel in and out of there. Alberta is maybe a little more liberal than Manitoba. Ontario and Quebec are much bigger provinces and, much bigger population, and they have higher numbers, but, everybody does things a little bit differently, which is, kind of, unfortunate, but that's the way it is. And then the federal government, they look after all of the vaccination programs and securing all of that. And like I say, look after the borders and, all that type of thing. So it's kind of a twofold, and the local governments really don't have any say. It's either the federal government or the provincial government.
I see.
The provincial government here in Manitoba dictates everything that goes on in Manitoba. The local municipalities don't have any say in it at all.
Mm-hmm. And Kevin, I know we talked about this a month or 2 months ago already, but how are things looking up there as far as, is there any, do you think there's any near future plans for opening the border, or how are things, are you guys moving along forward motion on that stuff, or?
Well, we've got a little bit of, optimism, I'd say, around, I think we're looking at having some fall shows. Our Eastern Regional Perch and Horse Association president, Todd Greer, had a meeting with him last Friday just over the phone to talk about, what are we doing? Should we be keeping these plates on? Getting ready to trying to get geared up. And Carp Fair, we had a real positive call with them. They are planning to move forward with some agricultural events. Whether it's going to be a traditional fair like we've seen in years past, at that point we don't have any structure to it. But the president reassured us that we would have some kind of agricultural event or breed show as long as we didn't get put back into the red zone. So there's some optimism, I say, right now. I know we had one of our business consultants was in today. And he told us that he's a gentleman, probably late 60s, I would say. And he said he was able to book his COVID shot. So our guy was a little late to the plate on getting his order in for vaccines. But I think right now Canada's got the 85 and over done. And I think they're working working on the 70 to 80 year olds. And after that, I think they're slowly starting to work their way down. So we're starting to see more of a presence towards vaccinations. I know the Royal Winter Fair in Toronto put out a statement that they're going to proceed with a venue, a show of some kind. I think that we're heading to definitely a better year than 2020. I don't think there's a whole lot of structure to it yet for definitely. I know the Belgian Association Ontario is putting all their efforts in to try to make this go ahead. I spoke to some members last week up there that had some optimism, that by fall things would start to roll. That's what we're looking at, Jaron. I mean, I think we're a little bit behind where the United States are as far as progress. So I know like Ohio, Indiana, Iowa have all issued some positive statements. Our guys are the first dominoes are just starting to fall in that row. So that's what we're hoping for.
Yeah, that's definitely some positive news. Good deal. Awesome. Yeah. Well, hey, Calvin and Kevin, thanks so much for joining us here tonight. And as Calvin said, the 2021 World Core Clyde Show is canceled, but rescheduled for July 19th through the 23rd, the same location, Brandon, Manitoba, July of 2023. So July 19th through the 23rd, 2023. So thank you both for being here with us. And if you have any more, if you need any more information about the World Clyde Show, you can find them on Facebook at the 2023 World Clyde Show. And there's a link there that you can ask any questions or anything you need or get in contact with a committee member. So thanks for joining in with us here this evening. We appreciate it, guys.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Calvin.
Yep.
Cheers, guys. Thanks, Calvin.
The Redrive is also brought to you by our friends at Topeka Draft Horse Auction, owned by Rick and Andrea Welsh, with three great sales to choose from with the Spring Topeka Draft Horse Sale, also the Seymour Sale coming up June 3rd through the 5th, and the Fall Topeka Draft Horse Sale October 25th through the 29th. If you have horses that you'd like to sell at the Seymour Sale, the deadline is April 30th. Make sure you call the office with your consignment, 260-593-2522. Once again, 260-593-2522, or visit them on their website, topekalivestock.com, or follow them on Facebook, Topeka Livestock Auction. Joining us this evening are the committee, Josh and Laura Mitchell, the committee of the North America Six Horse Hitch Classic Series Finals, with a big announcement they want to make with us here about the 2021 finals held in September.
Well, thanks for having us, guys, and we're excited, and we've been anticipating this for a while, and I know a lot of people have been reaching out to find out what are the finals going to do this year. Are they going to go back to Oklahoma or stay in Shipshewana? And we kind of weighed that over and thought about it lots. And there was just so much success in Shipshewana, and it's so many positive things up there. And unfortunately, COVID moved us up there, but it turned out so well. I think one of our best finals, if not the best finals that we've ever had. So we weighed that over. We spent a lot of time talking to the people in the community about it, and everybody loved it and wanted it back. So at this point, we're happy to announce that we're going to be going back to Shipshewana for 2021. And I think it's going to be even bigger and better than last year. And so we're full swing in the plans and preparations for it.
Well, no, me, Mark, and Logan, we always enjoy going to Oklahoma. It was always a lot of fun. But like the outpouring from the community up there in Shipshewana was just amazing. And to have, pretty much three sold out crowds at a draft horse show was great. And that definitely helps you with your sponsorships and all that. And I know you guys were up here meeting with people last week already during the Topeka sale. And I know everybody's excited to have it back in Shipshewana, and I'm sure you guys are as well.
Yeah, I think you know, one of the couple of the cool things about having it in Shipshawana is the community just accepted it with open arms, and they just said, whatever we need to do to make it happen. Dwayne Chupp, Keith Lambright, and a bunch of guys, the Blue Gate Hotel, they just got behind it and said, let's do it, whatever we need to do. So that was cool. And they're going to offer their support again, even bigger. But the other cool thing about having it there was it just seemed so central to the draft horse community. I love to look around and see draft horse family that weren't competing there, but they made a 3-4-5 hour drive to come watch the finals. And that's just something we don't typically get in Oklahoma. And as much as I love having it, and my boss, Bob loves having it here in Oklahoma, that we don't get that here because it's so far out of the way for most draft horse people. But that's what, I mean, that I think is a goal in having the finals, that as many people that can participate and watch, we want to be there. So.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, in the show that you guys put on, it was amazing. It was very cool, and it just keeps driving these hitches to make the finals. And like you said, people that didn't make it there, draft horse enthusiasts, they want to come and they want to watch, and they want to be a part of a special event like this. And yeah, definitely none of this would have ever happened if it wouldn't be for, you know, for Bob and all the great sponsors that kind of started it all, even down in Oklahoma. And you've had some sponsorships, some sponsors in Oklahoma that still sponsor the event. That just kind of goes to show how great of a deal it is. You have people in Oklahoma sponsoring an event in Shipshawana, and they still want to be a part of it. And that makes your job a lot easier too, putting this thing on, you know.
Yeah, totally. Probably doesn't benefit their company whatsoever, but they just love it. And they want to, like one of our sponsors said, I'm living vicariously through you guys as a sponsor. So,
yeah, people that can't maybe own a hitch themselves, and they get sponsored and be a part of it, and then they can own a hitch for a week. So, you know, so
right.
That's pretty cool.
So what's like the biggest difference you would say about hosting between the two places, like from Shipshawana to Oklahoma? Obviously location makes it a little bit more difficult, but what's the biggest difference in hosting it in Shipshawana instead of in Oklahoma?
Well, I mean, I said that the community up in Shipshawana supported it, but we had that support here. I mean, we had companies and people that just loved it, and we had a packed house here. Mm-hmm. Maybe not necessarily draft horse enthusiasts, but they were just people that appreciated it, fairgoers that appreciated the draft horses and would make an annual trip to the fair just to watch them. So we had a lot of that support and momentum here. But I think the biggest difference, the venue was really nice, and it was easy to host all the parties and all the dinners and everything that we were doing during the finals. It was easy just to have it under one roof, and it was really nice for the hitches, because when you're there competing with a six horse hitch, there's a lot of work to be done. You don't want to leave the barn for too long, but the parties and the dinners are fun to attend. But you just don't want to leave and travel somewhere for too long. So, for them to be able to just slip out and participate in all that under one roof was really handy. Plus, I can't express this enough, but it's really accessible for a lot of different, for Canadians to come down on a normal year. And
yeah, it's really central and convenient. And at, you know, we don't want to take anything away from the show in Oklahoma, because that was an amazing show in itself. And like you said, a packed crowd. And I feel like we got a lot of that crowd through people that watch the Gentle Giants and the fan base that Pam has started for the draft horse industry with that. I think really did really well down there in Oklahoma. But the hospitality, you know, that the Mech had, and going back to Oklahoma, it was during the fair. It was at a state fairgrounds. And when you have a facility like the Mech and the hospitality they showed to have a standalone show, it just makes it that much easier to put on a world-class event when you're not trying to compete with the rest of the fair.
Yeah, exactly. And Oklahoma State Fair, we worked really well with, and they did. They bent over backwards for us to make our show as successful as it could be. And so, I mean, we hate leaving that. But Oklahoma State Fair is probably not going to be able to have a draft horse show here. I just heard this year, just because of budgeting reasons and due to COVID and all that, but they want to build that back in the future. So that was kind of another reason that maybe this year, for sure, we need to take it back to Shipshewana. And there was so much success there. But Oklahoma State Fair was a wonderful place to have it. And we definitely have the support there. It just seems more central. And we really want the top four from each breed to be able to come and not worry about, you know, how far it's going to be. And it just seemed like more people, it's central for more of the hitches. And whether you like it or not, like Indiana, Ohio, Iowa, that, like the Midwest is central to the draft horse community. And it's accessible for a lot of the Canadians that we have a lot of hitches up in Ontario and throughout Eastern Canada. So it just seemed like the right decision to make, and especially since most people really preferred it just because they were able to come participate with it, whether they were exhibitor or not.
Mm-hmm. No, that's definitely exciting news. And for a lot of people, I'm sure, to have it back in Shipshewana. What are the dates? What are the dates this year?
Excited to announce that they will be September 16th with round one at 6 p.m., September 17th, round two at 6 p.m., and Saturday, September 18th, round three will start at 2 p.m.
And for all the thousands of people that were there last year, will they be looking for something new going on this year, Laura, as the event planner?
Yes, we are excited to announce that we will officially open up our Celebration of Champions reception, which will take place on Saturday, September 18th at 7 p.m. You know, last year we thought of this idea to have kind of a reception after the finals to award or showcase our top hitches. And we had our Hall of Fame nominations and inductees that were announced there. We highlighted our High Point Youth Awards. It was just a great time to talk about all of the winners of the year. And we had over 400 people actually attend that last year, and we are expecting it to be a lot larger. So we are preparing for that. We are actually going to offer those tickets. If anyone wants to attend the Celebration of Champions reception, you can buy your ticket online with your regular ticket for the Six Horse Hitch Finals. And that will be at www.michianaevents.com. And actually, all of our tickets are going to go live June 14th. That will be the day that you can purchase your tickets.
Yeah, and we weren't expecting but maybe 200 people to that. Right. Deal. And we just thought, oh, it'd be kind of fun. And hopefully people show up, and people were flooding through the doors. We didn't have enough food to feed people, and they were buying tickets.
It was a great time too.
And I think you guys are all there, but it was a lot of fun.
That was probably the greatest addition to the finals this past year.
It was great.
Awesome part of moving it to Shipshewana to be able to do that. And, you know, we always have the meet and greet before the show, the ceremony, which is always great for the sponsors and the exhibitors. But this is going to be a great chance for the spectators and the fans to be a part of it at the end of the show. to come and eat and watch the crowning of the champions. And it was just such a great event. And then, you know, having a band and just a fun time for everybody to mingle together and for the fans to get to meet and greet with the drivers and the crew and the sponsors and everyone. So that was a lot of fun.
One other addition too that we're adding to this award night is, as I guess I'm switching hats a little bit from show committee to a board member, but the board last year we tried to implement it, but just with COVID it didn't work out. But we really want to implement an all membership award, and we created four different categories that will be voted on by the membership. It's not just for the top 12 finalists, but it's any and everyone within the membership. And those awards are going to be the best shod. I believe a set of shoes are going to be donated from Miller's Shoes is that award. We'll have a best man and best woman driver of the year. That award's yet to be determined. And we'll also have a best show of the year. So that we're also going to provide some vouchers to get one or two representatives from the winner of that award to the finals. And then the fourth award will be the Sportsmanship Award. I believe Hans Way Products is donating a $500 gift certificate, plus they'll be more involved with that. But we just really feel like it's important to award people throughout our entire membership. This is just a way that we feel like we can do that. So be looking in your emails for that email, because you'll be the nomination process, similar to how we nominate judges. It'll be the whole membership voted on by the membership, and we'll give that those awards away there during the Celebration of Champions reception.
So you said tickets will go on sale July 1st? June 14th.
And
perfect, it's right before Father's Day. So it makes for a great Father's Day gift.
The reason I ask, I had last week at the Topeka sale, I had a lot of people ask, where are the finals going to be at? And, you know, with that many people there, you know, I like to get some tickets, and a majority of these were, you know, Amish. So is there going to be a chance they can go like right to the mech and just buy them right
so
there?
So that was also part of our planning process right before Father's Day, but then also right before the Midwest Classic Draft Horse show, so that a lot of those folks that need to come and buy it in person, they can during that Draft Horse show. And I believe that's June
25th and 26th.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we even get a shout out on this deal.
But one of the things that I think we're going to have to do differently this year is we're going to do assigned seating. Last year it was just general admission. But we're expecting such a large crowd. Like we had by Saturday, you guys know we were at max capacity and
standing room.
So
only, yeah.
We need to be able to use up every seat in the building and make sure everybody has a seat. So we're going to do assigned seating. So when you buy your tickets, you're going to actually choose which section you want to sit in. So that's one thing a little bit different this year.
Very good. Well, I know a lot of people are excited for your announcement, and we appreciate all your hard work, doing what you do, putting this show on each and every year, and such a classy event. And so make sure, get your tickets June 14th. What's that website again, Laura?
MichianaEvents.com.
Awesome. Very good.
I just wanted to talk about our biggest supporter that we've had for over 15 years. Is Alan Neiman. In the past several years, he has sponsored the Hammersmith Belgian wagon and hitch. He's with Adaptation Financial, but here on March 20th, just this past Saturday, he was in a pretty bad motorcycle accident. So he's in pretty critical condition. His wife told me today that if all things go well, he'll probably still be in the hospital for at least a month. So I just wanted to let our draft horse community know about this, to be praying over his wife, Gwen. And again, his name is Alan, and they've got two daughters as well. I know that they could use all the thoughts and prayers possible.
And if anybody,
and then another,
I just want to say, if anybody's ever been at the finals, a hitch or sorry, spectator, They know who Alan is. I mean, man, he just loved being part of the event and
terrible
always
news.
Put on big dinners and just a great.
Yeah, he was one of the ones. He's like, I don't care if you have this show on Mars, I will sponsor it. He's like, I just want to be a part. And last year we gave him one of the leather jackets and he wears that thing around all the time. He actually texted me the other day because he went to a restaurant and somebody thought he was one of the drivers. Oh, and he's like, he kind of played along with it for a minute, but he's like, I got to tell him the truth. I'm not one of the drivers. So
yeah, he should have said that Jason Hansberger got fired and he took his job.
Yeah.
Jason and him make a great, they have a lot of fun at the finals. That's for sure.
And then one other heartbreaking bit of news is another family to just kind of keep in thoughts and prayers is Scott Cornelius. He sponsored the past 2 years for the finals. He was with ECI Insurance, and last year he sponsored the Young Living Hitch. He just passed away a few weeks ago from a very aggressive cancer that took over his entire body within a month's time. And so he would, right after the finals, he was one Oklahoma sponsor that came up with us to Shipshewana last year. And before we got in our individual cars, before parting ways, he said, count me in for next year. I'm gung-ho. And so just, we've all just kind of been punched in the gut a little bit. Just, you feel like you lose one of your own. And so I know this draft horse industry is strong and we are like a true family. That's one of the biggest things I pride myself on, just being a part of this. And so, yeah, if you guys would just lift up these two families, the Neimans and Corneliuses, we'd appreciate it.
Yeah, we definitely want to keep both of their families in our thoughts and prayers. And our sponsors are, like you said, like families to us. And we couldn't do it without them. So.
Thank you guys for having us on.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank
for
you.
Doing
looking
thanks
forward
for
to
take,
it.
Thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule. Appreciate it.
We would also like to thank Penwoods Perchruns, specializing in ship-chilled semen. Once again, with a powerful stallion lineup here in 2021. If you have some mares at home that need bred, make sure you check them out. They have the Tripcrest Ladies Man Horse, Bellevue Crown Royal, Thunderhill Crosby, Recount, list goes on and on. Check them out on Facebook, or you can call them 814-364-9917 or 814-364-2183. Chad and Ron Nicole, Penwoods Perchruns. Thanks, guys, for tuning in to episode number 5. I hope you enjoyed. Make sure you drop by our Reinhold Tack and Western Wear mailbag. We'd love to hear from our fans. If you have any ideas, thoughts, any type of feedback, we'd love to hear from you. It is podcast@naclassicseries.com. Once again, send us an email, podcast@naclassicseries.com. Our mailbag is brought to you by Reinhold Tack and Western Wear, the official clothing store of the Classic Series and the Redrive. Western Wear Show clothing, you name it, they have it. Visit their store in Waterloo, Indiana, or shop online at ReinholdWesternWear.com. Once again, this is The Redrive. We'll see you down the road.